Isaiah 11 is not where your Bible's open. But, you know, sometimes we struggle with the Bible because we don't use the Bible to explain itself. And there's a phrase used here in verse number 1 of chapter 3 of Revelation. He says this, "Unto the angel of the church in Sardis, these things are right. These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God." So who are we talking about? What does that mean? And we go back to Isaiah chapter 11, and he says this, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." And so, who are we talking about in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1? We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about Jesus. And so, when we consider that prophecy, and if you continue reading in chapter 11, it would become very apparent to us who we're talking about, that we are talking about Jesus. And so, "these things saith he." Okay, so who is saying this? Jesus is. The book of Revelation is not the revelation of John. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so we need to establish that right off. Now, the understanding and the inspiration was given to John. He's the one that wrote it, but he wrote it by inspiration, by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he says, "I know thy works." And we talked about that. We kind of beat that up a lot on Sunday morning. "I know thy works." God knows our works. And since we said that Sunday, we won't go through it all again today. But just understand that he knows. He knows our motivation. He knows what it's all about. But he also says this, "And that thou hast a name that thou livest." How many of you want to have a name that you live? Right, somebody said, "What do you want people to say at your funeral?" "Look, he got up, he walked away." That'd be pretty good, right? He's moving. No, we're going to be in heaven then, aren't we? So what do we want them to say about us now? Well, I want them to say, you know, he's got life, he's got energy, he's got enthusiasm. Right, that's somebody's got, he's full of joy, he's full of God. I want people to say that about me. And when they talk about our church, what do we want them to say? "That's a lively church." Well, those people up there, they could sing and they could pray. Well, when they pray, you could tell they're coming before God and they're talking to God. It's not just some religious repetition, but they're not reading it off of some page somebody prepared. It's coming from the heart, and they're talking to God. And they're alive and about their faith. Well, they tell people about Jesus. They want to talk about Jesus. They're happy to tell you about their Savior. They're happy to tell you about the Word of God. They're happy to tell you about their church family. Now, that's the kind of church I want to be part of. That's the kind of that's what I want to bring to the church. You know, each one of us brings something to this body. So what is it that we bring? Are we bringing it up? Are we bringing it down? Are we giving it life? Are we taking away from the energy of the church? He said, "Thou hast a name that thou livest." I see you're reading it. "And art dead." He said, "You know, you've got a reputation that you're very lively, but on the inside, it's dead." That all the stuff that we are doing is superficial. That we believe Jesus and we talk about Jesus and we sing about Jesus and we praise the Lord and give testimonies at church time. But when we leave, there's nothing there. In fact, I believe there are a lot of people who are faithful to church and they want everything that the Bible and that God has to offer. Everything that the church promotes, they want it. We want to experience it fully. But the truth is, we're dead. The truth is, as much as we want revival to be revived and energized and feel that freshness of our salvation, it's just a joy to see people when they get saved and they just fall in love with Jesus and fall in love with His Word. And by the way, if you fall in love with His Word, you'll stay in love with Jesus. But if we don't read His Word, it's, you know, we just get a dose of it at church, and maybe if we listen on the radio or read a devotional or something. But if we read God's Word faithfully and stay in God's Word, it'll keep us close to Him. Because this is His love letter to us. How many of you ladies like for your husband to write you a love letter? All right? I saw the one that Levi posted yesterday on your anniversary. All right? And you'd like to get a love letter. Even if it just says, I love you. Guys, take note of that. They appreciate that. Even if it's just a little note with a heart. Something, just anything. And that keeps the love, and it reminds them about what they've got to cherish. Well, when we read God's Word, it is His love letter to us, where He says to us over and over again, I love you. And we think, how can I be worthy of His love? Right, guys, when your wife looks at you, she thinks, how could I be worthy of such a man? Exactly. Jesus writes us a letter and He says, I love you even though you don't deserve me. I love you, I love you, I love you. He just loves us. And we look at ourselves and we say, but how can you love me? As unfaithful as I've been, as rebellious as I've been, as unenthusiastic as I've been, as dead as I feel on the inside sometimes, how could He love me? And yet He writes me that letter that says, I love you, I love you, I love you. Read it. He says, you have a name. By the way, what name is that? He's talking about the church. The church. So we're not talking about individuals. We'll get to that in a minute. But He says, as a church, your reputation is that you're alive, but you're dead. He said, it's all just at showtime. We come to church, we put on our smiling face, and please continue to do that. And we sing beautifully, and we sit up straight, and we listen to the preaching, and we say amen. Right? We're part of it. But then when we leave, it's like we just checked out and left God back here. Don't leave God here. Take God with you. Take that presence with you. And you say, well, Pastor, we can't leave God behind. I know that, and you know that. But sometimes it feels like that's what we do. We say, okay, God, it was good visiting you. I'll come back to your house next week. And that's it. And the people at work don't know we're Christians. And the people at home, they don't see us reading our Bible. They don't hear us praying. They don't see any of that through the week. And then we come to church, and they see it. I counseled a couple one time, and the wife said to me, and this was when, I think it was couples counseling at that point, and she says, you know, he shows me all kinds. She says, we come to church, he holds my hand, he sits next to me real close, puts his arm around me on the pew. We get in the car, he doesn't hold my hand. We go home, he goes and does his thing, he doesn't touch me. She says, in public, he's huggy and feely, but at home, nothing. You know what that means? You got a reputation that you love, but you're dead. You got a reputation that there's life, but it's gone. There's a deadness there. There's an emptiness. There's an absence. And so Jesus says, John, I need you to write to this church at Sardis, and I need you to tell them, look at verse 2, to be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. We could look at our lives and say, well, you know, I lost this and I don't have that anymore. Okay, then strengthen what you've got left. So many people try to be good at so many things, and if they're not good at something, they work really hard at that thing until they can get better at it. But you know, God did not design us to be good at everything. And so we should maximize the things that God has given us talent and skill in. And we should be extremely good at those things. You know, my truck makes a noise. You know what I do with it? I take it to the mechanic. I got a friend and his truck starts making noise. You know what he does? He gets under it with wrenches and then has to have it towed to the mechanic. Leave it alone. Keep your tools off of it. Keep your greasy fingers off of it. Take it to the mechanic. Well, do you want me to take it to the mechanic? Yeah, because I don't want you touching it. I want you to take it to the mechanic. Let them fix it. And so we don't need to try to do things we're not good at. Let the people that are good at it do it. And you be good at what you're good at. He says, as a church, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. Thank God we've got a growing and a loving and a lively church. But you might look back and go, but you know, we used to do that and we used to do that. Hey, strengthen the things which remain. And I found we could focus on all kinds of things. I talked about that the other day. All kinds of churches do all kinds of things. You can listen to preachers on the radio and on the computer, and you can hear all kinds of things. You know what I want us to do? I want us to stick to what we're good at. I want us to get better at what we're good at. I want us to hold on to those things, which, by the way, are the fundamentals anyway. We don't have to do everything. We just have to do what church is supposed to do. We need to have a good relationship with God. I don't want to be a well without water. I want people to come to the well, right? The verse says, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. I want people to come here thirsty for God, and I want them to get their thirst quenched while they're here. I want people to come in here expecting to be in God's presence, and as soon as they come in, feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when they leave, they feel like they've been to church. I don't want them to feel like they went to a rock concert. There's rock concerts out there. We don't charge $60 per seat, right? You want to pay $60 per seat and go hear a rock concert? That's up to you. But when you come here, we're going to have church. That's the way it is. And so he says, strengthen the things which remain. You have a reputation that you're alive, but you're dead. All hat, no horse, right? You've heard that phrase before. You have the appearance of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. Guys, embrace the whole Word of God and trust God to do everything, anything and everything. God can do anything. What did the angel tell Mary? With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. He said it this way, nothing is impossible. Nothing. Don't put God in a box and say, but God can't do that. God can do anything he wants to do. Let God be God. You stay in your lane, let him have his lane. Well, religion without relationship, dead within. In need of life-saving measures. He says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. He says it's ready to die. And you look at what he says, boy, even what you got, you're barely hanging on. Life-saving measures, life support is required. Let me ask you this. Do you want a church, and he uses the term death here, and we talk about it in medical terms, do you want comfort measures? You know what that means? That means that we're just going to take away the pain, but we're going to let you die. We're not going to stop you from dying, we're just going to make it comfortable. I don't want to go to church that'll do that. I don't want to go to church that's just going to let me die and fade away and lose, you know, all the joy and all the life that I had, but they're going to make me comfortable. I don't want that. We want maintenance measures. What's maintenance measures? Well, the doctor comes in, he says, look, we can't stop it, but we can slow the decline, right? And sometimes we get to that point, that's all we can ask for. But as a church, I don't want maintenance measures. I don't want to just manage the decline of the church. I've watched pastors do that and CEOs and leaders of organizations, and they're there and it's dying and it's losing and it's failing and they're not turning it around. They're just managing the decline. I don't want maintenance measures. You know what I want? I want CPR and I want recovery. I want to see that life. I want to be back to thriving. I want a chance to live. A friend of mine that was in the crash the other day, you know, we can say all kinds of things. But when it's time and the doctor comes to your family and says, what do you want us to do? And I've had, you know, and people sometimes look to the pastor and say, Pastor, what should we do? And you may say, well, I told the pastor, when it comes my time, just let me go. But the family looks at me with tears in their eyes, and I love you too. And they say, well, what should we do? I said, let's give them a chance. Man, let's give them a chance. Let's do what we can to save them. Let's do what we can to give them life again. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. We can't stop. If it's God's will, it's God's will. But let's give them a chance. Look, I want to have life-saving measures. I want people to tell me when I'm sick. I want people to tell me when I'm dying. I want people to tell me when I'm wrong. I want people to tell me when I'm backslidden. I want people to say, hey, wake up. Like rush in, like the paramedics. Come in there and do what you can. And try to give me life back. Breathe some life back into it. Look at what he says. He says, be watchful, verse 2. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Let me tell you something. If we don't get some CPR going, you know what CPR is for? It's to save your brain. That's it. Just save your brain. We don't know if we can save the rest, but let's keep some oxygen going to the brain. If we can save the brain, we can give them a chance. And so we do that pump, you know, those compressions, and try to save the brain. Legs falling off, well, let's save the brain, right? That's what we want to do, save the brain. They're ready to die. It's die. Well, it's barely hanging on. Ambulance shows up, and they rush out. They put you on the stretcher, and they start doing all kinds of work. Why? Because you're ready to die. What do you want them to do? Show up and go, yeah, he ain't looking so good. Y'all probably should have called us sooner. No. You want them to jump into action, don't you? You know what God wants the church to do? Jump into action. Guys, I don't know how long I'm going to be here. I don't know how long you're going to be here. I don't know how long we're going to be here. The Jesus may come back and take us all home, but I want us to take action between now and then. I want to be busy for God. Corey was relaying a story earlier, and somebody told him, well, you know, he's busy. And Corey said, no, you mispronounced lazy. You mispronounced it as lazy. Not busy, it's lazy. That wasn't exactly how he said it, but it sounds good. Give them a chance to live. They're ready to die. Look what he says at the end of verse 2. I have not found thy works perfect before God. He said, you're not doing the best you can. I may not be able to do it as good as you can do it, as well as you can do it. But I better do it as best as I can do it. Better give my best. I may not be able to sing, you know, like some of the great singers, but I don't think there's any doubt I'm going to put all I can behind it, right? I'm going to try. I'm going to sing. I may not be able to preach as good as some of those who've come before us, and some that are on the scene now and some that will follow. But I'll tell you what, I'll do the best I can. May not be the smartest, but I'm going to study the best I can. I may not be the best soul winner ever lived, but I want to talk to people about Jesus. I want them to go to heaven. You see, that's what we're here to do. Those are the things. He said they're ready to die, and I've not found your works perfect before God. It's superficial. You do what we say the other day, just enough to get by. Lukewarm, just enough to get by. You're not really trying hard. You just want to stay in the race, and so you're kind of jogging. But Paul said, In the competitions, the race, they had judges, and the judges would look and see you're not giving your best. Say, hey, you're out. I'm still running. No, you're not giving it your best. You're out. Wow. I've not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. Look at what it says. How thou hast received and heard. How many of you remember a preacher or a Sunday school teacher or a coach or a neighbor or a family member who talked to you about Jesus? You remember how you heard. I remember how I heard. I remember those people. But look, I don't just remember how I heard it and the people that told it to me. I know that there were some people who died so I could have a Bible. I know there's some people who died so we could have church. I know there's some people who gave their lives. They surrendered everything they had, laid it all on the line so we could be free. I know that's how. That's how it happened. He said, is that just for nothing? Remember how thou hast heard and received. It wasn't easy. And then we go all the way back to Calvary. That wasn't easy either. And I know he is the Son of God. And I know he's the creator of the universe. But he went to that garden and he fell on his face and he sweat drops of blood. And he said, Father, is there any other way? He said, I don't want to do this. But I'll do it if that's the only way. Yes, it was hard. His mama standing at the foot of the cross and him up there beaten, unrecognizable, bloody, crown of thorns to mock him, written above him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Nails in his hands and feet. Church weeping, mama weeping. It was hard. Remember how thou hast heard and received. It wasn't free. It wasn't easy. Somebody had to pay for it. And it was Jesus that paid for it. So we're just going to waste it? Just going to squander it? He said, hold fast and repent. At some point, we've got to put a stop to the bleeding. At some point, we've got to put a stop to the decline. We've got to stop it where it is and turn it around. You go to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, you got a disease. What are we going to do, doc? Well, it's going to end up killing you. I say just enjoy your days. Well, is there anything? Well, there's some things you could do, and it could turn it all around, and your disease could go in remission, and maybe completely go away. Hey, doc, tell me about that one. What have I got to do? Guys, it's the same way with church. Realize that if we don't do what God's called us to do, God has put together an incredible team with the members of this church. Man, I look around and I see people who are capable of making a difference. But you know what? If we don't reach some young people for Jesus, there's a date out there and it's going to go away because there won't be anybody left to come. And if we don't reach some adults for Jesus, there's going to be a time where it's going to be in such a decline that they won't be able to afford to keep it open. Guys, this is not about offerings. It's not about finances. It's really about whether it's important or not. And I don't harp on the Sunday night, Wednesday night thing because I know people are busy and people are tired. And be honest with you, I'll just be humble and honest with you. There's sometimes on Wednesday I think, boy, I could sure go home and go to bed right now. Yeah, I do too. I don't feel that way right now, but I did about 4 hours ago. Hey, preacher, you mean there's times when you don't want to go to church? Yeah, 4 o'clock I didn't want to go to church, but at 6 o'clock I was ready to go. Sometimes I have to convince myself to come too. So don't feel bad if you don't feel like coming all the time. But you know what? If I followed my feelings all the time, I'd be in trouble all the time. So, well, we're going to quit having church on Wednesday night. Why are you going to quit having church on Wednesday night? Well, you don't come anyway. Why do you care? Somebody getting offended right now. But I mean, it is what it is. If we don't do what we're supposed to do, there's going to come a point where there'll be no point to doing it. Guys, people need Jesus. That's what this is about. If people aren't hearing about Jesus, how to go to heaven, how to get their sins washed away, how to change their lives and leave everything in the past in the past, if they're not hearing about that, there's no point coming anyway. We're here to make a difference in eternity and a difference in the now. Remember how we received it. The blood, the sweat, and the tears of others who came before us. Do we care? Do we care as much as they did? There were some people who left the church where they were happy and comfortable and came out here on this property and started having church, and they met under trees and in vans, and they had Sunday school under the tree or in a van, outside a van. And they had church and they had Sunday school and they taught lessons in the heat and in the cold. And when it wasn't comfortable outside, they did it anyway. Might have even had to fight some gnats every once in a while, but they came to church. And they got something going. And they gave, and eventually here we are. But we wouldn't be here had it not been for them. We'd be in church somewhere maybe, but not here. Do we not care what they gave? Are we not willing to give as much of our blood, sweat, equity, our tears, our prayers, our effort? He said, hold fast, stop the decline, regain what was lost. Is that what it says in your Bible? Hold fast and repent. Repent means turn around, change your mind, change your ways. Hold fast, stop the decline, regain what was lost. Return to the fundamentals. Exercise the fundamentals. Well, Pastor, how do I get to be a better Christian? I'll tell you, number one, read your Bible. Boy, you read your Bible, it'll just get you excited. Number two, pray. By the way, pray when you read your Bible. It'll help a whole lot. Pray. Talk to the Lord. Pray for everybody in the church. Pray for all your family. Pray for all your friends. Pray for your enemies. Pray. Of course, attendance with other godly people, other people of faith, to be encouraged. Remember Elijah? Oh, Lord, I'm the only one. I said, you're not the only one, but you wandered away from everybody that was in the church. You're out here by yourself. No wonder you feel all alone. You came out here by yourself. I'm the only one left. We need to be in God's house with God's people. We need to spend time with God's people. And then, fourth, evangelism. We need to tell people that don't know Jesus about Jesus. And we're going to run against some people that they oppose Jesus. People are mad at God. I've never been mad at somebody I didn't believe existed. I never got mad at the Easter Bunny. Never did. I hate that Easter Bunny. Why? He doesn't exist. He's a character. If you don't believe in God, why are you mad at him? The truth is, there's a part of you that knows there's a God in heaven. There's a part of you that knows you're estranged from God. And there's a part of you that wants to come back, but you won't swallow your pride and your ego and humble yourself and say, God, I need you. But we need to tell people about Jesus even if they get mad. Even if they don't like it. Even if they argue. Even if they debate. Nothing wrong with a back and forth discussion. And even if they don't believe, I'm not going to pound them over the head, but I'm going to give them an opportunity. I'm not going to push them in the door, but I'll open the door for them. Fundamentals. Repent, hold fast. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I'll come upon thee. You know, if we aren't looking for them, we're not going to be ready when he gets here. You ever expecting company? Expect company? I mean, do you put your pajamas on when company's coming over? Get out of your pajamas and put some civil clothes on. Now, might not be a tuxedo, but at least it's not pajamas. By the way, if I come visit you in your pajamas, that's fine by me. Because if you come to my house unannounced, I'll be in mine. But if I'm expecting you, guess what? I'll have regular clothes on. Jesus says, if you're not ready, you'll be shocked when I show up. If you're not mindful, if you're not in tune. Guys, how can we not be in tune with what's going on in the world? Ukraine, Russia, China, the economy, the pandemic, disease. Guys, we are the economy, and I mean the money exchange, electronics. Guys, we are there. The internet. Daniel prophesied that knowledge would increase, and now the information that we have is doubling way quicker than it used to. And kids in school now have to learn so much more than we did. Now we're having to keep up. We're having to learn even though we're out of school. Guys, he's coming back. There's nothing stopping them. They're getting the temple ready to rebuild. They got stuff together. They got the lampstand, clothes for the priests. They'll always announce when a red heifer is born. Hey, there's a red heifer born. They always announce that. You know why? Because they're ready. They're ready for the Messiah to come. We're ready for him to come back. Look at verse 4. Y'all believe that's only three verses? Let's go to verse 4. We'll go in just a minute. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. You see that? He says, now in this church, he's preaching to that church, backsliders, falling away, get right, get it together. You're losing it quickly, but if you will put a stop to losing, you can regain it and win. And he says this, and you know what? He says, while I'm preaching like this, this is Jesus through John. He says, I want you to understand that I'm not talking to everybody. You see that? He said, I'm not talking to everybody. Some people sit in church and they go, why is that preacher mad? I've been doing everything I need to do. Jesus said, tell them, I'm not talking. He said, there's a few that aren't. They're not doing anything wrong. They're doing everything right. And I believe we have a lot of people in our church who are making every effort to do everything right they can to promote the gospel, to build the name of Jesus, to reach the lost for Jesus. And he says, they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Wow. Incredible. You know why? He said they're not Christians in name only. Are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. I asked some people the other day, are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Where do you go to church? Well, you know. You don't have a church? Well, you know. In fact, I asked the lady today. You need some help? Yeah. Well, where's your church? Where's your church people? They should help you. They don't have a church family. I want you to know, so I believe this. I really believe this. If I put out a call tonight and said, I need X, Y, Z, I would have X, 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 Y, 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 Z, 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 Z. I believe that. Because that's the kind of church family we have. Now, if you just sit back and don't ask and don't tell and nobody knows and you say, well, why ain't anybody helping me? Well, nobody knew. But I believe I could call anybody in this church. And if they answered the phone, they'd help me. If they could. Not a Christian in name only, not a church in name only. But passionate. Passionate in their faith. On fire for God. Holiness, godliness, and curious students. Man, I love somebody to text me or call me and say, what does this mean in the Bible? I love that. What does this mean? If you just read your Bible and don't care what it means, what's the point of reading it? I want to know what it means. Curious students of God and of life and of Scripture. An active church, not a passive church. Well, I'm just going to church till I can go to heaven. No. No, live. Let's get something out of it. Let's invest in it with our heart, our energy. Let's lay ourselves out there on the line sometime and talk to somebody about Jesus that we're scared to talk to about Jesus. Because if we'll do it, we'll stop being scared of doing it. Because it's just about their eternity. Right? What could be more important than that? And you're already going to heaven, so nothing to lose. He said, you have a name that you're living, but you're dead and aren't dead. Let's stand. God, this is a very challenging text. And I hope that each one of us tonight can sense the urgency of the time. God, not only when we will stand before you in judgment, but when those that we have not reached will stand there. God, give us the courage, the enthusiasm, the energy to tell people about a loving Savior who changed our lives. Forgive us our sins. Make us useful this week. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.